been quite good to listen to both of you.
Well, I will talk about stable equivalence, not of nodes, but of links on surfaces. So the main idea is, first I will present why or how we define the virtual, with the virtual links. It will be like an answer to a certain combinatorial logic. And then we will present, well, I will expose mainly these two articles of Kamada and Carter and Saito, where they explain how they can be represented as links, link diagrams in surfaces. Okay? So, in order to begin with this idea, the first thing we have to do is to define what is a link diagram. Okay? A link diagram will be an immersion of disjoint circles in a surface. Note that here we are in a compact and oriented surface. Note that here we are changing the usual definition that we will work in the plane or in the sphere, but we are working with any compact oriented surface. Mm-hmm. And we are not taking account of the transversal points. That means that when we have a transversal point, it's just that, no? It's a crossing. We are not saying that it's an overlapping or underlapping. Mm-hmm. It's just a crossing. It doesn't have any information, no? It's just an immersion of curves like that, no? And this will help us to define the usual link diagrams, no? Because if we accomplish this link diagram definition that we have with a function assigning to each transversal point, to each crossing, a sign, namely a positive or a negative, then we will have an overlapping or underlapping, no? And in this way we can recover the classical definition of a link diagram. Mm-hmm. And well, it's known that each link in the space, we can project it and we can obtain a link diagram, but they are identified up to the Rademaster moves, no? That means we have two link diagrams, mm-hmm, and they will be equivalent as a link, mm-hmm, in the space if we can take one to the other by a finite number of these Rademaster moves, no? Until now it's nothing new, no? it's just link theory, no? But the point here is, to these objects we will study them from the crossings. That means we want to associate to each diagram, mm-hmm, a certain combinatorial object that describes it just by the crossings. Okay? So we will call this combinatorial object the Gauss code. That means, mm-hmm, we will take a diagram and we will look to the crossings. Uh-huh. So, for example, the most simple example, no? We will have this one, no? We can assign this positive crossing. In other sense, it is a negative. So, we have a link diagram. So we will enumerate the crossings that we have. In this case, we have one crossing. Okay. To each crossing, we will assign the sign that it has. For example, in this case, is one. Mm-hmm. And we will number each crossing. We will number the arrows entering and getting out of it, for example, with the right-hand rule, no? So if we have a crossing, we will number 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? And the main point is, We will construct a bijection between the heads will be the 1 and 2, and the tails. Okay? So we will construct a bijection between the heads and the tails of all the crossings. And each assignation will represent an arc in the diagram, or in the inverse way, no? Each arc will represent an assignation in the diagram. For example, in here, we have the head 1 go to the tails 4, and the head 2 go to the tails 3, to the tail 3, okay? So in this way, we can assign this combinatorial object, we can describe the diagram, and finally we will have another final component, that is the number of trivial components. That means we can have here one cycle, and well, we will count it in order to take all the components in account. Okay? So in this way we can assign we can construct we can define the Gauss code.
Excuse me. And by trivial component you mean trivial diagram.
Yes. Yes, it will be a component that it has no real crossing.
Okay.
Okay? Yes. So here I have another example. For example, here we have 4 vertices. Here as we are assigning the heads and tails according to the right hand rule. Okay. Here we have, for example, this is pointing down here. So head 1 go to tail 4, head 2 go to tail 3, and so on. This is very symmetric in this sense. And each one of the crossing is a positive crossing, and here we have no trivial component. Okay? So, but one question will arise between the relation that we have between the link diagrams and this combinatorial object that is the Gauss code. No? If we have a Gauss code, can we assign it a classical diagram? That means the crossing will be just positive and or negative? And well, the answer is no. No? The answer is no. We have, for example, this is a Gauss code that is not realizable. When we have a Gauss code that can be realizable as a classical link diagram, we will call it a non-realizable Gauss code. But because, for example, we may have this case. This forms a polygon. So each straight entering must go out, but if we don't have enough vertices of the polygon, we don't have a way to go out. No? So we need something, we need an extra crossing. No? And this crossing that is not there, what will be the virtual crossings. Okay? So this is the way as we can see virtual links. No? We will define with our definition of virtual of link diagrams, so we can now define what is a virtual link diagram. Okay, we have a function that assigns crossings to positive crossing, negative crossing, or virtual crossing. Okay, and just a remark. Here we are working also with S2. S2 is the sphere, and we know that if we take a point of the sphere, it will become homomorphic to the plane. So working in the sphere is some way equivalent to working with the plane in the plane. No? And so here we have now we have defined what is a virtual link diagram. No? It's a virtual link, but with an extra information that are the virtual crossings. Now, This answers the question that if we have a Gauss code, we can assign a link diagram. No, now it will be a virtual link diagram. But it is not clear that it will assign just one link diagram. No? So we will do the same as we did in the classical links. We will add some relations in order to have identified to each Gauss code a link diagram, no? And in order to do this, we will, for example, here we have these six virtual link diagrams. Mm-hmm. All these link diagrams has the same code, has the same Gauss code. So with the Gauss code, we can not differentiate them. No? And we create them because of the Gauss code, so it wouldn't have sense to create something that we cannot identify by the source. No? So we will put some extra relations to the virtual crossings in order to get well identified this kind of things. No? The relation will be like the virtual, like the Rademaster moves, classical, like the classical Rademaster moves, the virtual one, like the virtual one, the virtual two, the virtual three, that is, are equivalent to the R1, R2, R3. Mm-hmm. And we will have this extra relation that is called the mixer relation. Mm-hmm. This mixer relation is like passing virtual crossings over over a real crossing, no? A regular crossing. So we will say that two link diagrams are equivalent if we can take one to the other via a finite number of virtual Rademaster moves, mm-hmm, and isotopy in the sphere in this case. No? So the main point of introducing these movements, of introducing these moves, is the next theorem. That says, first, we answer the question. If we have a Gauss code, then we will have a link diagram that will represent it. No? We just have to put to choose the vertices in the sphere or in the plane, and we will have to join the arcs according to the correspondence that give us the arc function. Okay, and then assign the signs according to we have to make it all match, no, according to the instruction that Gauss code gives us. Okay, and the second question, and the second thing is, well, now we have two link diagrams, mm-hmm, and if they have the same Gauss code, then they are virtually equivalent. Mm-hmm. Virtual equivalent means that we can deform one to the other just using virtual moves and mixed moves. Mm-hmm. And this is good, no? Because in this way we can recover, we can do an assignation to each Gauss code to a virtual link diagram in a nice way. Because if we call the virtual link diagrams, the equivalence classes of virtual link diagrams, not virtual links diagram, but virtual links, then we will have a good assignation between Gauss codes and virtual links. No? And in this way, it matches well. So, here we can see that all of them have the same Gauss code and all coincide, no? By doing some moves. No? For example, here we can pass over here, and we will get three and so on. No? For example, here we can unlink and so on. No? We can get from one to the other. So, okay, virtual links arise as an answer to a combinatorial object that is related with vertices, no? The vertices of the Gauss code. So, We would like to relate what is a virtual ring and approximate them as classical links. No? meaning that we have only overlapping or underlapping. In order to do this, now we will work with surface. No? We will take the advantage of surfaces in order to get rid of the virtual crossings. No? So to do this, we will Kamad and Carter introduce this object that is called abstract links. No? What is an abstract link? So we from the beginning we say that a link diagram is a pair, a surface, a compact oriented surface, and a link. No? Meaning a link, something that has no information on the crossings. But a surface link diagram, now as such, will be a surface link, a link diagram, but we will put underlapping or overlapping information in the crossings. Okay? This is quite natural. I have said nothing. So the next point is more interesting. An abstract link diagram is a couple, that is mean it will be a surface link diagram such that the surface is a deformation retract of the link. No, the link is a deformation retract of the surface. That means we can link this as ribbon links, no? But the point is, here we have the trivial link, no? Here we have the trivial link. Is the link is the ribbon, and all of them are identified of homeomorphisms, orientation preserving homeomorphisms. So we can twist it. We can twist in some way the annulus, no? But we can have also this another kind of link, no? For example, if we have this clause over here is the classical one, no? It's the same of this, but here no. Here is like taking this crossing real is and assigning the same one. No? It's like if the crossing of this vertex is one, no? And we substitute this by this. Okay. So here, for example, this is the trivial link, but we have a not trivial surface. I mean, we don't have this surface. No, it's not the annulus. So we need some way to identify this kind of objects and to get rid of the well and to play with the usual crossing. No, so we define the realization of an abstract link diagram. The realization of an abstract link diagram will be a closed surface. Mm-hmm. Will be a surface link diagram, so such that the surface is a closed surface, and of course the abstract link diagram is embedded on the closed surface. Mm-hmm. And in this way, we don't have holes. The advantage of those having holes is that locally we can look, we can deform the link diagram in the surface and do write the master moves there. No? And this sounds very logical, no? For example, here we have this abstract link diagram. We can deform it a little and embed it in the torus. Okay? And well, finally, we can see the realization as the final image. Here, so as we can see, sometimes the realization is a good way to make right the master moves on the surface, no? Because locally we can see there that this kind of moves, we are feeling the holes, no? We can always have a realization, by the way, because as we are working with oriented compact surface, it's like having a closed surface with holes, no? So we just fill the holes and we obtain closed surfaces. So, for example, here, for the right the master tree movement, right the master tree move, we can do the right the master move here because we have a hole. But if we fill it, then we can do a classical right the master move inside of a disc, and then we get the other after link diagram, and so we can say that they are equivalent. So in this way, we define the equivalence of abstract link diagrams, and we will call it the equivalence class of abstract links. Mm-hmm. So now, what we would like to do is to identify abstract link diagrams with surface with virtual links. No. To do this, we will use the scheming process, that is this is a form. No. If we have a line, a segment, we will assign the ribbon. If we have a virtual crossing, so we will put two overlapping ribbons. Mm-hmm. And if we have a regular crossing, we will put a cross. A cross ribbon. Okay? So, in this way, for example, here is one point, no? For example, here we can choose an overlapping ribbon or an underlapping ribbon, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we are working with classes of surfaces identified up to homomorphism. So we can put the overlapping or underlapping at it won't matter at last, because when we get the abstract link diagram, they will be identified by homomorphism. As we define it, no? So it doesn't matter. Finally, it won't matter if it is under or over. Maybe it will matter when we construct the realization. Yes, of course. But from the beginning, it won't matter when we do the complete abstract link diagram. No, they will be identified. Okay, so. This assignation, this process, will induce a map between the abstract links and the virtual link diagram, and between the virtual links and the abstract links. Okay, so what we will have to check here is that if we have two virtual link diagrams, and they are related, then the assignation, the abstract links, will be also related. But it's not a difficult task to see that it's well defined, because because we only have to verify by the right the master move, no? The right the master, the virtual and the mixed moves. No? So for example, for the virtual ones. For the virtual, we have that this is equivalent to this. Okay, so we may assign from the beginning this to this ribbon, but we can say, oh, it's a radial, no? But we can identify them by homomorphism in order to write them, and then this is clearly equivalent to this other. Okay, So in the other virtual moves are just the same, because we have different ribbons that doesn't intersect themselves. So we can take them one in each different level and then play with them. No? So for the virtual moves, there is no problem. So now for the Rhino Master. For the Rhino Master, I can use the same image that I have here. For the Rhino Master, it's like this. We have a realization, we can locally have always a realization that fills the space that fills the space that doesn't allow us to do the classical Rhino Master moves. So we are just filling the holes that are in that are between, no, and doing the Rhino Master moves in the classical way, and obtaining the other equivalents. So in this way, the Rhino Master move is not so complicated as well. No? But it will only remain to see the mixed relation. So for the mixed relation, it looks like I will put it like this. The mixer. But here we have a cross that has an underlapping ribbon. So we pull the ribbon up, and then we have the mixer relation. No? So in this way, it's easy to see why this includes a good map between the virtual links and the abstract links. So now we only have to construct the inverse map to see that this is a bijection. No? But the inverse map will be it's not so complicated. We will take around each regular crossing, we will take a disk containing the crossing, and then we will construct an embedding of the surface in R3 in such a way that this disk that we have constructed are in the plane, in the horizontal plane. So in this way, the overlap it will look like a lot of, well, we will have some places and a lot of bridges connecting them, no? And in this way, we can always have an abstract link embedded in R3 in a nice way. So now we will just move the bridges in order that they be in a general position, and then project them to the plane. Mm-hmm. We have already, in this way, we will have a class. We will have a link diagram in the plane. Mm-hmm. But we will need only to assign signs to the crossing. No? We have already the positive or negative sign according to the to the signs that have the abstract link diagram. Mm-hmm. And to the other crossings that are not positive, either negative, we will assign just the virtual crossing. And in this way, we have constructed a virtual link diagram that corresponds to the abstract link diagram. No? And in this way, it's easy to see that this is, one is the inverse of the other, and everything looks well. No? So this is the way we have the relation between the virtual links and abstract links. But sometimes the abstract links have too many holes, no? I mean, it's better to work with closed surface, no? In, with closed surface, we have more the intuition of of the right master moves. And also, if we have the a surface link diagram, if we use only right master moves, we will identify these link diagrams, you know, these surface link diagrams, with if we identify, okay, again. If we take surface link diagrams and identify them by right master moves in the surface, then we will have a bijection between links, not in this space, but in the Dekenet surface. That means if we have a closed surface, and we have a link diagram in it, and we take the equivalence classes by right master moves, by right master moves, then this will correspond to a link in the surface, in the surface, in the Dekenet surface. That means the surface with the cross product, no? Of the surface and the interval. So locally we can see the right master moves as usual right master moves in the space, no? So it will be likely to have an equivalence relation, not in abstract links, but in the surface links. So in order to do this, we have what is the this is so we have the definition of a stable equivalence. The stable equivalence between surface link diagrams will be as follows. So we will say that we have that two surface link diagrams are related if there exists a third surface link diagram in such a way that we can embed both in it, in such a way that we can do right master move on it, no? This is almost what we did with abstract link diagram, but here we are not restraining ourselves to abstract link, no? We are taking off this condition of a deformation refractor, this kind of stuff, no? So the problem with this relation is that it's not transitive. For example, we cannot embed the sphere and the torus in another surface, no? So, but for example, the torus and the annulus, well, for example, this diagram, surface link diagram, that is the trivial one, and the annulus are related, and so are the torus and the annulus. So we complete this relation by transitivity, no? And this will be the equivalence relation. That means in each move, we will take a third surface where we can embed both. We do the right master move, and then we go down. No? It's like making jumps, little jumps, no? In each surface. So, okay, this is the relation that we need. We have the bijection. We have a bijection between the abstract links and the surface link diagrams with this equivalence relation. In order to see this, an abstract link is already a surface link diagram. It doesn't say too much. And when we have a surface link diagram, we only take a regular neighborhood of the link in Merced, and then we will have an abstract link diagram. So in this way we have the bijection between surface link diagrams and abstract link diagrams, and so with virtual links. Okay? So in this way we can understand virtual link diagrams as abstract links or as a surface link, because we can always have a realization of it. No? Well, I don't know. And it's kind of funny sometimes to see how the equivalence relation, the equivalent surface link diagrams are, no? But for example, in here we have the virtual link diagrams which I don't know how to say from the beginning the first example of a not realizable Gauss code, no? So here we have an after link diagram that represents it, and here we have a surface link diagram that are equivalent to this. But for example, is this representation, is this unique? And in this way, for example, we can say that no. As for example, we have the torus, the same torus. Mm-hmm. We have the crossings that are in this way. Mm-hmm. And for example, in this, as it is pictured in the map, it goes something like this. But what if instead of going by this handle, we go by the other handle? It is also a representation, no? And it's nice, no? And they are both stable equivalents. So what I want to say, just to end this, when we have a surface link diagram represented in a surface, it's not so clear that they are always like the master or isotopic equivalent, no? And we have this condition of stability. The stability is adding handles or deleting circles, no? And, well, this is what I have to tell you. Thanks. Yes. You have two surface link diagrams. That means you have a surface and a diagram immersed. Mm-hmm. And you have another. So what you do is you take a third one. You take a surface. It doesn't have to be compact or closed. Well, it has to be compact and oriented, but it doesn't have to be closed, no? The only thing that you do is to embed the first one and to embed the second one. Okay? And then you look to the image of the diagrams. Mm-hmm. You have D1 and D2. So if you can do a classical Riemann master move in this third surface, then you will say that let's call it L1 and L2 are related by stabilization. Mm-hmm. So this is the relation that will generate the equivalence relation. That means if you have two surface link diagrams related, it doesn't mean that it will exist only one surface link, one surface. It means that it will exist a chain of surface in such a way that in each step you will have a third surface that will relate them, and then you go down and so on. Mm-hmm.
And did you say if the surface with two surface diagram is equivalent, then two abstract link are equivalent to each other, then the surface link from what's obtained from the abstract link to embedding surface are equivalent. Did you say that?
That if we have two abstract links and we embed them in a surface link, then yes. What I say is this. Well, if I understand your question, is this this relation is compatible with the abstract link diagram relation. I suppose is that what you were asking, no? If the relation that we have in abstract links, no, is compatible with this, and yes, the answer is yes, because what we are doing with abstract links is to take a with abstract links, what we are doing is take F closer. So in some sense, it's almost exactly the same relation. It's almost, no? It's almost, because here we are not asking to F to be closer, no? But when we work with abstract links, we are asking, in fact, here F must be closer, mm-hmm. and it's the difference. No?
Mm-hmm. There are no any other questions. We can stop this morning.